Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I want to welcome each one. Thank you for those that have already put so much into this service. In many ways, I feel that the message that's on my heart has already been preached. But I expected that because it is the good news of salvation to mankind. And I trust we will never get tired or bored of looking at what God has done for you and I. We sang a song this morning. Hope you can bear with me with my voice. I have a considerable cold. But we sang the song, O Jesus, My Sweet Hope and Comfort. I'll just read the three verses. It says, O Jesus, my sweet hope and comfort, no longer leave me lone and sad. My heart and soul to Thee stand open. Thy entrance, Lord, will make me glad. O wealth of earth, O joy of heaven, true God, true man, true morning light. Come, precious Son of grace and glory, shine through my soul and make it bright. Oh, that my heart could be the manger of birth for Thee, O Jesus mild. Then soothing rest as in Thy cradle would form the nature of Thy child. Then all my lonesomeness and sorrow would end in blessings rich and free. Come, precious Son of grace and glory, be born anew and live in me. Verse 3 says, O healing one, still all my longing. That was the phrase that really caught my attention. O healing one, still all my longing. The insecurities that Brother Daniel was talking about. The longings, the hurts, the desires, that void in our hearts. O healing one, still all my longing, come with thy blessedness to stay. With humble hunger I desire thee. My being fill without delay. My thoughts and all my powers of reason I consecrate, O Lord, to thee. Come, precious Son of grace and glory, thy comfort grant and make me free. A profound text and a profound set of music makes it very moving to me. This week, as I pondered and contemplated what God would have me to share, my mind had been for some time and continued to just think about and ponder all the pain and suffering that is in our world. And specifically, I was thinking about the wars that are ongoing. We have the Russia-Ukraine war that has been going on for, I believe, almost 2 years. I think February will make it 2 years. Such utter disaster and killing and lives being lost and suffering, seemingly needless suffering. And then more recently, very recently, all of a sudden the Middle East has exploded into war again with Hamas attacking Israel from the Gaza Strip area there, and Israel retaliating. And my imagination fails me to imagine the brutality that such a situation brings. I cannot imagine men just ravaging into a place and so brutally taking anyone, the innocent. And just bringing death and destruction and pain and suffering. I cannot imagine the humanitarian crisis that is happening in Gaza right now. It's beyond my imagination to think of a space that has the most densest population completely cut off. A humanitarian crisis, I understand, basically existed before this happened because of such a densely populated area. Pain. We live in a sad, broken world. And what is the cause? The cause is sin, right? Man does not know God. Mankind, separated from God by sin. And my heart is pained even further to realize that so often these wars that are fought, especially in the Middle East, while yes, just like any war, it has to do with power, it has to do with power over others, that's what it has to do with, but even deeper than that, seated in these wars is religious beliefs. Religious wars. And what's going on is that mankind, in their search to fill that void, that hunger, searches for something real. And that is why we have religions in our world today. Men reaching for something. People trying to bring about what to them would seem like heaven on earth. A utopia. But without God, the results in more pain and more suffering. But you know, the hurt of sin is not just out there, is it? It's not just amongst warring nations. This week, I received word of a man my age that I know that passed away. I knew him during my teen years. We went to the same church together. We spent at least some amount of time together. I remember going to Sunday school, sitting next to this young man as we would go around the room and read the verses. I remember being at youth activities and other church functions and seeing this young man there. And I remember this young man had some very serious struggles. It seemed he had just a bent, a love for the world and pleasure. You know, there was things like cowboy boots, Western style, country music, a jacked up truck, things like that, I remember. And looking back now, I realize perhaps more than I did then that inside the heart was someone who was hurting. There was pain. There was suffering. There was someone hurting. Perhaps even I unwittingly added to his hurt. I don't know. I remember him responding to an altar call and repenting and getting rid of music and things, sinful things in his life. Only a few weeks later to realize that the change didn't last. Our lives went separate ways. And this week I heard that he passed away last Sunday. And I'm told that it was because his liver and kidneys were destroyed by alcohol. Pain and hurt. This young man was just a few months, I believe, about a half a year younger than myself. His life greatly shortened. And as I thought about all these things, there was a choir song that we're singing this year in choir that kept coming to my mind. The title is Healing for a Wounded World. The text goes like this. These are dangerous times in this sorrowful old world. Who knows what tomorrow we face? Yet we look to the one who created each life, who fashioned every planet in space. Healing for a wounded world, flowing from a nail-scarred hand. There is a hope, there is a light overcoming the darkness, breaking through the night. The great physician reaches out to offer healing for a wounded world. Say one word, precious Lord, and the blind will gain their sight. The lame will start leaping for joy. With the power of your love, shattered lives are made whole. All those who've been forgiven rejoice. You were pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment upon you has brought us peace. By your stripes, we are healed. By your wounds, we are healed. Healing for a wounded world, flowing from a nail-scarred hand. There is a hope, there is a light, overcoming the darkness, breaking through the night. The great physician reaches out to offer healing for a wounded world. My title this morning is The Great Physician. The world needs healing. But you know, it's not just nations at war, and it's not just past or distant acquaintances such as my friend, but it comes right here, right home to us today. All of us are affected by the pain of sin, the devastation of sin in our world, and we have all sinned. And we all have a hurting emptiness inside of us. I trust many of us have found salvation and we are being filled with Christ. But we're still here and we still face pain and suffering as a result of sin. And when we try to fill that void with something other than God, we only hurt ourselves, right? We only push ourselves away from God. And we hurt ourselves deeper, and we hurt others. You know, like the saying says, hurt people, hurt people. Our insecurities that Brother Daniel talked about. Our desire to be loved. Our desire to be wanted. Our desire to be somebody. You can go on and on and on. With that desire. I'd like to look at a few verses in the prophets. You can turn with me briefly to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, we'll read a few verses here, starting at verse 18. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet sorrowing over the sin of Israel. And we won't take the time as we go through some of these different passages in the prophets to look at the context of when these prophecies were given. But we'll read them, and I'm sure that we can find application for us here today. Jeremiah 8, verse 18 says, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Is there no balm in Gilead? The answer is yes, there is a balm in Gilead. There is healing. But it's not without a price. Isaiah 53. If you want, you can turn there, even though I'm sure you know these verses by memory. Isaiah 53 says, "Surely he hath borne," starting in verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You see, Jesus Christ has already taken all this suffering, all this pain, and he has borne it himself to give us life, to give us healing. And so why would we not be saved, as we just read in Jeremiah? The harvest is past and the summer is ended, and we're not saved. We're not healed. We still have this pain of sin. Jesus bore it for us. Malachi chapter 4, the very last passage of the Bible. There's a beautiful two verses here I want to read. Malachi 4, verse 1. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." The day has come is what the prophet is saying. The day has come and the sun is coming up. And those, the proud, those that are wicked, will be burned up. Judgment comes on them from the sun. But it says, unto you that fear my name, the sun of righteousness arises. And as that sun comes up and it warms, and that heat comes on the one who is penitent, the one who is repentant before God, the one who is looking to Jesus, to God, for his righteousness, there's healing. That warmth and light brings healing to the suffering soul. And it says, ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now, the King James translation, at least to us, may not be readily apparent what it's saying there. But the idea is that you have calves, young calves, they're, you have them in the stall. We might say today in a calf hutch. They're in a small confined space while they're being nursed by their mother or fed milk. And the day comes when they're weaned or they're strong enough and you open up that little area and you let them out into a pasture. Have you ever observed that? It's a delightful thing. These little calves that can seem a bit clumsy sometimes all of a sudden are skipping and jumping and frisking and bouncing and bucking at nothing. Just sheer delight in the freedom. That's what it's talking about. And ye shall go forth, and maybe it should say as grown up calves from the stall. But maybe get the idea. That's beautiful. Healing. Jesus quoted Isaiah. You can look in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He has come to heal the brokenhearted and to set captives free. How do we receive healing? For the hurt caused by sin in our hearts. In Acts 38, Peter is preaching and he says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what Jesus does. And you know, in Jesus' ministry, there were many, many people who received physical healing. Many people who received spiritual healing. But there were many people who also received physical and spiritual healing. And there's, I think, at least 26 specific individuals that you can find in the Gospels, maybe more than that, but that's what I came across. 26 specific individuals who were healed physically of some kind of ailment. And I think as we look at those stories and as we read those stories of how God brought healing to them, I think we can learn truths about what it means to find spiritual healing and how we can find that healing. And so I want to look at two specific healings that Jesus did and see if we can find some steps to spiritual healing. The first one is in Mark chapter 10. Well, the first one I would like to look at anyway. Mark chapter 10. And we'll look in verse 40, starting in verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho," Mark 10, 46. "And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Now let's turn back to chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 24, another healing. Mark 5, 24. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For," she said, "if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" I'd like to take from these two stories five steps to spiritual healing. And I'm sure that we could make quite a few more steps, but I decided to keep it very basic. 5 steps to spiritual healing. And really, these 5 steps are the 5 steps to salvation. But even as people who have committed our lives to Jesus Christ, we still find these areas in our life where we have to find healing because of sin. Sins that I have committed, weaknesses in my flesh, and sometimes, yes, those sins that are done against me and the pain that that causes. The first step is that we must recognize our need. Bartimaeus recognized his problem. He knew he was blind. And he sat there begging. The woman recognized she had an issue of blood. And she tried everything. She knew she had a problem. She recognized that. In Mark 2, you don't need to turn there, but the Pharisees asked the disciples why Jesus was eating with publicans and sinners. They seemingly were offended and concerned by that Jesus would sit and eat with publicans and sinners. And Jesus heard them and he said, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, is Jesus saying that some people are righteous and actually don't need him? Is that what he meant? Absolutely not. Those Pharisees needed Jesus desperately. The difference between the Pharisee and the publican was that the publicans knew they needed Jesus. They knew they needed help. The Pharisees didn't. That was the difference. And hence, they didn't need him in their hearts. But sin was there. They did have that need. We must recognize our need. What are the needs in our lives that maybe we just don't see, or maybe we're not willing to recognize? I was listening to the Pilgrim's Progress recently again, and was reminded of the scene there at Interpreter's House, where Interpreter shows Christian a number of things, and one of the things that Christian sees there is a man that's waking up from a dream. You remember that? He's woken up. He's waking up, and he's crying out because of the awfulness and the fear that he felt from this dream. And the dream he had, as he told it to Christian, was that the day of the Lord had come. And I don't remember all the details that he gives there, but that the heavens were opened and the resurrection was happening. But what was so fearful and dreadful that he was left behind. And Christian says, "Well, what are you going to do about it? Why were you left behind?" Well, there was something. There was a sin. And Christian implored him to take care of that need in his life, to take care of that sin in his life. And he, as they talked, insisted more and more that he will sometime. But it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. It's really not that big of a deal. We must recognize our need. The second step I have is that we must be broken. The woman had tried everything. And verse 26 says that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. had suffered many things and many physicians, going to doctors and going through the tortures of this treatment and that treatment and the other surgery and this and that, and there was just no help to be had. And she was done. She had spent all that she had. She could not seek help any further because she was out of money. There was nothing she could do. We need to be broken as she was broken. And after she touched Jesus' garment and Jesus looked at her, what did she do? She came and she fell down and she told him, what does it say? She told him all the truth. That's what a broken heart will do. They'll just, here it is. She was maybe a bit embarrassed, a bit fearful before, but when she became face to face with Jesus, she melted. And she simply fell down and wept and told him everything. Told him that it had been 12 years that she had this problem. Told him that she had gone here and gone there looking for fulfillment to this need, looking for healing in this place, in that place, and everything she had gone through. She told it all to him right there. And that no one was able to help her. And she told him that, yes, I touched your garment, and immediately I was healed. Do I recognize that I don't have the answers? I don't have the answers. Do I depend totally on Jesus? And this is such a challenge to me, because so often, you know, we know that's what we intend to do, to rely on Christ. And yet, at the same time, we know what we should be doing, and we need to rely on the strength of Jesus to help us do what we are called to do, what we know we should do. Step number three is we must go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And the beautiful thing here, and part of why I chose these two stories, was because these steps don't look the same for everyone. People are different, and the needs and the hurts are different, but the healing is the same. The source of healing is the same as Jesus. And we can see that here in these two stories. Go to Jesus. For Bartimaeus, you know, he was blind. He could not see. That was his need. And he was sitting there begging. And when he heard that Jesus was close by, he began to call out and to beg, "Jesus, have mercy on me." That was his cry. That was his way of going to Jesus, by crying out at the top of his voice. That was where he found himself, and that's what he needed to do to get there. He was told to be quiet, but it says he cried the more a great deal. I would just like to see that. He didn't care what he was told. He knew one thing. He wanted Jesus. He needed Jesus. For the woman, it was different. You know, there was this thing. This bleeding. She had looked for answers for years. It was embarrassing. She didn't know what to do. As far as she knew, there was nothing to do. Broken. But she decided, I'm just going to push through this crowd. I'm just going to work my way up there. And it must have been difficult. Pushing her way through that crowd, following up, it says in the press behind him, following up behind Jesus and just touching his garment. Not worthy to call attention to herself. Maybe the hurts in your life is like that. There's nothing. There's nothing to do for this pain. But if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just pour my heart out to Him, He'll understand. And she worked her way behind Him. Do what it takes. Do what it takes to get to Jesus. Whoever you are, whatever your disposition is, whatever the hurt is, whatever the sins that you have committed, whatever the sins are that have been committed against you that want to cause you to rise up in bitterness, whatever those things are, do what you need to do to get to Jesus. It's not going to be the same for you as for everyone else. But the healing is the same. Jesus is the same for each and every one. The fourth step is reach out in faith. Bartimaeus had come face to face with Jesus, but he still couldn't see him. And Jesus says, "What would you like me to do, Bartimaeus?" And he says, "Lord, that I would receive my sight." Those were words of faith. Why else would a blind man stand in front of somebody and say, "Give me my sight"? Bartimaeus was convinced and believed that Jesus could heal him. And as a result of that faith, he was healed. The woman pressing up behind Jesus, ultimately, finally, at that moment, heart thumping, nervous, had to reach out and just touch the hem of his garment. Reach out in faith, believing Jesus can heal me. These two people believed. And sometimes our faith falters. Take the Word of God, read it, allow it to become alive to you, believe it, and reach out in faith. Number five is follow Jesus. You're healed. You've been given life. The great physician has given you healing. But it's not over. We still live in this world. Follow Jesus. It says of Bartimaeus that, "And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Here's a man that, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he had ever seen. He was blind from birth. If I'm not mixing that up with another story. He was blind from birth. He had never seen anything. And now he's given sight. Now, this would be you would think a time to have almost every distraction imaginable. Imagine you never saw anything. And now you can see. Just taking in the world around you must be a bit overwhelming and stimulating at this point. But what does Bartimaeus do? He's following Jesus. He can't think of anything better to do with this newfound eyesight than to keep it fixed on this man who's walking in this path. It seems like Jesus simply healed him and began moving on. And Bartimaeus is just taken up with following after Jesus and keeping those eyes, this newfound sight, just fixed on the Lord. That's how it should be in our lives. And when we receive healing for pain in our lives, for sin in our lives, it is so important that we take that healing and use it for God's honor and glory, for the sake of Jesus. The verse Brother Daniel had at the bottom of the paper this morning. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Jesus. That's the great physician. And he's there for all of us with, as the song said, the great physician reaches out. He's standing with his arms outstretched to receive whatever those ailments are, whatever that pain and suffering is. He's standing with his hands outreached to the world, to the suffering in the Middle East, to those that wander away from God. And he's reaching out to you and I. We began with some verses in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 17, I'd like to read two other verses. Verse 13 says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Even Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, had that promise that he clung to in faith, that there was healing. All that shall forsake thee shall be ashamed, and their names shall be written in the earth. What does that mean? Well, you could think about it different ways. There's different ways you could think about it. You could think about it that the body returns to the earth when we die. Or we could think of it that our names are written in the earth, in the dust of the ground, and soon vanish away, as is anything that is written in the ground. Either way, it means simply that those that forsake the Lord will pass away, and they'll be gone, and they will receive judgment because they've forsaken the fountain of living waters. But Jeremiah said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's kneel. Our Father in heaven, We come to you this morning. We want to thank you and praise you for being the great physician. Lord Jesus, there's no one else that we can look toward. Like that serpent on the pole in the wilderness that Moses put there for the healing of those that had received that snake bite. So it is in our lives, Lord, that we have been bitten, we have been affected by we have sin in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, and we need to look to you, Father. Give us the strength wherever we are, to turn and look in faith to Jesus Christ. Lord, that you would bring healing into our hearts, into our midst, healing into my own personal life, healing into our brotherhood, healing into our community, healing into the world, Father. Lord, that we would be ambassadors for your kingdom, that we would be little Christ, that would spread the word of salvation and healing to all men. Thank you, Lord, for these promises. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.